Yeah, so welcome everybody. I'm really excited about today's topic, which is around diversity, equity, and inclusion. And specifically, Lakeisha, welcome to our session today. Lakeisha Brooks joined us in some sessions earlier this year, and I was really struck by her energy, and then we subsequently had a conversation about what she's about to present. So let me just give you a couple of words about Lakeisha. Maybe you had a chance to read her profile, but she's a managing partner of Brooks Consultants, and I guess one of the inventors of the diversity architecture that we will get exposed to today. She serves on a number of advisory boards, including the Diversity Advisory Board for HR.com. And she is also an award-winning training professional. So I think we can expect some high energy and some good facilitation today, Lakeisha, right? And she does an enormous amount of training as well. She has a two master's degrees actually from the Central Michigan University, one in organizational leadership and one in training and development. So I think that's probably about what I, well, actually, I wanted to add one other thing. She also worked as the former VP of DE&I at the International Coaching Federation. So Lakeisha has both internal experience of building DE&I competency inside of an organization, and then now as an outside consultant. So I think with that, Lakeisha, I'm going to turn it over to you, and hopefully, as more people join, we will be able to have a rich discussion over the next hour.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jane. Thank you so much for everyone for having me. And as Jane said, I've done this for a while. So I actually started external, internal, external. So I've done a lot of this work. So I've been you all, whether you're internal now, you're external, you're someone like me who did both. So I definitely can resonate with each and every one of you all as far as this work is concerned. I want again talk about the diversity architecture of organizational design, the purpose of this. And just a little high level of what it is, how it plays into the work that you all do. And we're going to have some really great discussions amongst each other to talk about how this architecture, how diversity fits into the work that you're doing, as well as when do you think about inserting or implementing diversity into your strategy as well. So let's dive into it. The first thing, again, before we dive into our conversation is, what is this architecture thing that Lakeisha created? So when I was working external for years, as well as internal, I realized that a lot of organizations, not all, were treating diversity the same. It was a lot of focus on just HR or just people focus, which is good. Or we saw people 4 years ago with the murder of George Floyd that were doing it for performative reasons. So they were saying, hey, we need to do this. There's no why, there's no rhyme, no reason. We have to do this. So seeing both internally and externally what people were doing, again, not everyone, I decided to say, hey, we need to actually talk about how diversity should be a part of every part of the organization. So this framework offers a comprehensive strategy to ensure the diversity is integrated in every part of the organization. It's part of the design process, which is what a lot of you all do, is making sure that all the parts of the organization are connected, making sure that we're looking at every single part of them as well. So this is what this framework is doing. It's saying instead of diversity being an afterthought or performative, meaning we're just doing it because it's the right thing to do, we're ensuring the diversity is part of the design of everything we do. And with this framework, we came up with nine different areas to think about when we talk about how can diversity be integrated. How can it be part of the operational side of what we do, not just people side? So if you had a chance to read the article that I wrote a few weeks ago about the difference in how diversity is not just a people function, it's also an operational function. So that is the core essence of this framework, is to talk about diversity is not just people focused, which is great. It's our most important asset, but it's also about the operational side of it as well. It's also about the bottom line. It's also about keeping the organization functioning and working as well. So high level, very quickly, I'm going to look at the nine different areas of the diversity architecture framework. And I want you to think about it as I talk about these, how you are integrating them, because we're going to talk about it in a second, but I want you to think about, am I integrating this on the forefront of what I do? Is this part of the strategy that I think about when I think about the design of an organization when I'm doing my work? So let's talk about the first five of them. First one is talent composition. This talks about making sure our diversity and inclusion is part of the people side of things. It's also an operational side as well. This talks about diversity across different landscapes. If you were on here earlier, Dennis talked about the difference in different countries and cultures when you're doing this work, right? That's part of that as well. So one of the things we ask about is, are you considering geographical diversity? Are you considering different cultures as well? Because that makes a difference in the work that you do when we think about talent composition and the work that we're doing as well. So it's not just, thinking about race or gender or things like that. It really goes beyond that. This also fo focuses on leadership development programs or reverse mentoring programs, all those type of things that we do in an organization to ensure that the diversity that we're trying to do is actually represented in the work that we do. Then we talk about external engagement. This can be things such as your consumers and your customers, your suppliers, your community efforts. A lot of organizations are doing partnerships with different things. That's what that's looking at as well. So you want to make sure that also it's helping to expand that market. So a lot of organizations might say, I want to penetrate the Mexican market, or I want to go in South America, or I want to go into the Asian market. But that's part of that. A lot of people think diversity, again, is just about people, and it is. But what about the operational side of that? What about growing your clientele, growing markets, penetrating markets? That's external engagement. Metrics, data, transparency. In anything we do, data is imperative, but also making sure our data is clean, making sure it's valid, making sure it's reliable, and that we're transparent with our data. I have had clients, and I'm sure some of you all have as well. We do the data, but we don't want to show the data that's bad. We don't want to talk about the data that's bad. It's very data, whether quote unquote good or bad, because we need to know the areas of opportunities for growth. So we talk about that in that metrics, data, and transparency. Policies as well. So again, the policies that we have in different organizations may vary. Policies across countries. Again, Dennis talked about this as well. Different policies, law structure differs depending on where you are as well. You want to make sure that those policies are adhering to what you want to do for an inclusive organization. But if you have a global organization like we had at ICF, you had to think about policies in the US versus Germany versus and Malaysia, different things. So when we were writing policies, we can't just think about the US, even though we're based here. We have 60,000 stakeholders across the world. Our policies have to be as inclusive, but also considering different places across the world. Training and change. I love training. As Jane said, training is what I do all the time. But if we're just training just to train, but we're not training for change, it could be a problem. We have something called learning, where people are just going to trainings, you ask them something a month later, they have no idea what they've done, or they can take a test, level two of Kirkpatrick's, if anybody's familiar with that. They can pass the test, but they can't apply it. They never go to level three of Kirkpatrick. They have no idea how to apply it. So the idea of training should be, I am writing this training with the idea that I want to change behaviors. Now, people may say, hey, we have biases in an organization. Well, everyone has biases. Maybe you want to change some things when it comes to biases. If you're not writing that training so that it aligns with the change of behavior, mindset, improvement, decreasing whatever, again, we're just having scrap learning. So we really want to encourage not just training, but we train with the idea of change. So let's look at the last four, organizational culture. This dimension focuses on those values of DEI in the organization. We want to consider things like employee experience, engagement, which are two different things. We also want to look at wellness of the organization, wellness of our people as well. So that can be any type of wellness. There's like seven different dimensions of wellness. So everything from mental health, which you see a lot of that on the rise, which is great, but also things like financial wellness for our employees as well. Really thinking about that culture survey most organizations send out, some sort of cultural or some culture survey once a year. Now that's typically more in employee engagement because it's usually a 1 year thing. It's usually tied to someone's performance or job versus experience, which is throughout their entire time there. That's not a one-time thing. That's from the moment that they're recruited to the moment that they're an alumni of your organization. That's an ongoing process. So that culture really does really talk about that belonging that a lot of people talk about, that DEIB. That's usually what this usually falls in that space as well. And so I usually send out an inclusion survey for companies so they can kind of just get a pulse of where they are. But again, that's where this one will sit in. And a lot of the focus that organizations do really fall in this area. Nothing wrong with it, right? We want people to feel like they belong, but you're missing out on eight other areas because a lot of your focus is here. Then we talk about readiness to change. And all of you all deal with change management all day, every day, because again, we're trying to make improvements, we're trying to make changes, we're trying to get organizations to see what's going well, and then how can we work to make that even better. So readiness to change is also very important in diversity architecture as well. You have a lot of organizations who maybe middle management may say, hey, I see a problem here, I want to change it, but your leadership isn't bought into it yet. Their leadership isn't ready for this change yet. They don't understand the change that you're trying to do. They don't understand how the change is going to impact their ROI, their reputation, all of these other things as well. So when we talk about change, it's also, again, about that mindset and the actual application of change. It also means things like, let's say, accommodations for physical accommodations for persons with accessibility concerns. Are you ready to make the necessary changes to have a more inclusive environment for people that need those changes? Right? Because that's money, that's time, that's an investment that you have to think about when you talk about readiness to change for accessibilities outside of what legally you have to do as well. Then we talk about strategic goals and setting those goals. Every single one of you all already do goals, goal setting, strategic planning, business cases, all those things. So this is about aligning those diversity metrics with organizational goals. So we see a lot of, I'm sure you've seen this as well. We see a lot of organizations that do diversity work. They may have celebrations, they may have acknowledgement of different holidays, things like that. But those goals have nothing to do with the overall structure, overall strategic plan that the organization has in place. So with the framework, we're encouraging organizations to not just have diversity goals, which are great. You want to make sure that they're aligned with the overall strategic plan, which is why, again, diversity is not just about feeling good, doing the right thing, and people. That's one side of it. It's also about alignment of strategy, operations, the bottom line. And this is where this number eight is really imperative to make sure that those goals are aligned with every other thing that's going on. And number nine is accessibility inclusion. So it's a little bit in the readiness to change of the change of our facilities, change of things when it comes to accessibilities, but it's also focusing on the benefit of having those with accessibility concerns or issues in your organization, what they bring to the organization as well. Also about making sure that you're following those guidelines. There's guidelines to different countries when it comes to accessibility, or even things like your website. Or things like in certain parts of the world, there's a certain number of persons with disabilities that you must have in your organization. We don't have that here in the States. So making sure that you understand what accessibility inclusion looks like for your organization, and then also where your organization lies, right? So again, if you have a certain amount of employees, even here in the States, you fall under certain guidelines and laws where if your organization that's a little smaller, you may not. So it's very important to understand accommodations, understanding laws, policies, changes you have to make when it comes to accessibilities. So again, this was a very high level overview of the framework because I want you all to spend most of your time in conversations, in collaboration, working together to talk about how, whether this framework itself or diversity in general really plays a role in the work that you do. So before we start diving into conversations, I I had the opportunity to research a lot of the work that you all were doing because I wouldn't be a good facilitator if I really didn't do a lot of my research and my homework. And so I wanted to know, how does this align with the work that they're already doing? But I talked a lot about it high level, right? A lot of the work that you all are doing. And overall, I looked at it and was like, the diversity architect framework, just like the organizational design process, involves systematic and holistic approach to aligning and integrating all aspects of an organization to achieve strategic objectives. So both of these align together because both of them were focusing on making sure that it's strategically aligning with every part of the organization. So some of you all may already be working on the framework for diversity and not realizing it. Some of you may say, hey, I thought about that. Now, how can I continue to make sure diversity is a part of the entire strategy? So it's so great to know that some of you all may already be doing it. You may be considering it. Maybe you're not sure how to integrate it into it. But the work that you all are doing and the diversity architecture framework are so aligned because the focus is about the entire organization, not just about silos, different departments, but really about the organizational health of the entire ecosystem of that organization. So now I want to start the collaboration process. So again, this is really about you all. I'm here just to share with you a little high level of this framework, how it works, and what you're already doing. But the majority of the day is really about you. So the first group collaboration discussion I want you all to think about is a two-part, right? We have, are you incorporating diversity in your design work? So I want you to think about it. So again, earlier I say, I want you to think about these not areas. And are you incorporating them? How are you incorporating them? Because we're going to talk about them later. So this is that time. So the first question is, are you doing it? The second part of this is, where in the process do you consider it? So when you think about diversity, whether it's the framework I talked about or just the general diversity, I want you to think about, when are you thinking about it? And what part of your process, because everybody has their own process, even though we follow the organizational design process, we all have our own process and how we work with our clients, right? So when are you doing this in this entire process? So we're going to be in our rooms for 15 minutes, collaborating, chatting, and then we're going to come out and quickly debrief for about 5 minutes to share some of the things that you came up with when it relates to considering the process and are you doing it? And it's okay if you're not doing it, because this is a great opportunity to talk about, okay, I'm not doing it, but now thinking about it, when would I actually consider it if I was to incorporate it? So I'm going to go ahead and send it over to my partner here, Tanya. You're ready to put them in those groups?
Yes, we are. So we're going to do 15 minutes. Right now, with the size of the group, I'm going to put you into two rooms. And if anything's changed with that location, just let me know.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And you'll automatically be put into the rooms, and it'll automatically pull you back out as well.
And Tanya, will you be able to drop the questions into the rooms, maybe?
I can. I can put them onto, well, we can broadcast them into the
We can
room. Yeah,
broadcast it. That'd be great.
all right. Right, they should be going in. First question.
And they should be able to see my screen because I broadcast my screen as well.
I broadcast it into the breakouts.
Hi, Susan.
Think she's on her way into. Oh, Susan, are you on an iPad by chance or a Chromebook?
No, I am not.
Okay, let me see. Maybe I hit design the rooms and then you jumped in. Is that the case for you?
It's okay.
All right, we'll put you into your room. There we go. That was strange.
Yeah, I think I saw that she popped on as soon as you let them in the room. She popped
Okay. Which that was covered by my trying to see the question.
on.
All right. Well, I am a little surprised at a small group today. With the 40 people registered, we really pretty generally.
You're the first group back.
They might have come out on their own. It hasn't forced them to return.
Now everybody's back. Hopefully
you know, like when you see the little thing close the breakout room, it's like, you know, do you just take it, you know? I hate being in the middle of the sentence and then being brought back. It always feels so bad. So it's nice.
Yeah, that makes sense, Carrie. Great. We saw some really great conversations. We saw those little microphones going up. So very excited to hear the discussion. So we have two groups. So which group would like to go first? Jose's laughing.
And everybody's going to be on mute here unless you intentionally unmute yourself. So feel free to.
Good point out.
I could go first. hi, everyone.
Hi, Wendy.
So our group was pretty diverse in and of itself in terms of where we're coming from, me coming from a consulting perspective, both in org design and in DEI, others focused more on DEI, one person being internal, focused primarily on org design, and somebody else also consulting, looking at whole process change. And I was very happy to hear that everyone is at least is doing it. I mean, is thinking about ways to incorporate it, and as a practice, it's there and however they overlay it to their existing process. So I thought that was promising, especially just given how much pushback there is lately for this work.
Absolutely. That is promising to hear, Wendy. Thank you.
Group, anyone want to chime in?
One of the things I had shared with the group was at one time I was responsible for leadership development, management development, and succession planning at a transit agency. And we had a program called the Transit Professional Training Program. And the idea was is that people would be hired and rotated for 18 months across our organization. And the benefits of that were minimally twofold. One, people went through that program, developed a more comprehensive picture of the enterprise as a whole, and developed a manager mindset. And secondly, they were exposed to a broad range of people across the organization in terms of building personal social networks. So originally, that program had been designed to hire people out of college, but we felt that that was perhaps too restrictive and would inhibit our ability to get a more diverse workforce. So what we did, we opened participation and application into the program to our operating employees, which was a very diverse workforce. And by doing that, we now and this coincided with a lot of people returning from the Vietnam War, who had held leadership positions in military units and things like that. So by easing that restriction, redefining it a little bit, we were able to bring in a lot more people into leadership ranks and see the organization with natural leaders and a much more diverse leadership workforce.
Awesome, Mike. And so where in the process did you, if you were involved in this, did you say, hey, let's think about opening it up to the operations team? Was it before or after or during when you were like, let's consider this because maybe we're really not being diverse with just having one group of folk?
It evolved in a series of conversation. It wasn't like an individual decision. We were essentially having a conversation that our workforce was very diverse, but our leadership team wasn't. We also had good fortune of seeing, as we looked at the demographics of our leadership workforce, we're on the precipice of a significant turnover. So looking at those different elements and looking at how can we be more diverse and have our leadership team represent our workforce. It just emerged out of our conversations as we talked as a group of leaders.
Awesome, that's great.
In the same group as Jose, I just mentioned that about 4 or 5 years ago, we're doing a startup in the telecoms, and we actually made sure the policy included diversity, even though it was in a Muslim country. We managed to get significant numbers of gender diverse management teams. That's the best way of putting it. But it took about 2 months of discussions amongst the original 9 or 10 people, because it was all males. So you can imagine what that meant. All males and all foreign. So it was on top of it. This was in Southeast Asia. So so that was quite a challenge. But once it was in, it was forgotten. It was part of the process. No one even questioned it after that, which is fantastic.
Awesome. That's a great example, because you know, if you look at the diversity architect framework, that was two different areas. You're talking about talent composition, you know, all males, trying to get women in there, and then policies. Like you said, different countries have different laws and policies as well. So it's a great example of making sure it's on the forefront to say, hey, let's consider this and consider policies as well. We can't just say, hey, we want women. We also have to take in consideration the cultural sensitivity of other countries and cultures as well. I think it's a fantastic example, Jose. Anyone else want to share before we go into our next question?
I have one more thing to add. I was working for International Truck and Engine Corporation, and we saw that there was an underserved market in terms of Black businesses in North America. So we had a diverse group of leaders within our engine group, and we approached one Black leader who was very, very good in terms of business acumen and things like that. And we asked him if he'd be interested in starting, and we would provide the seed money and the support for this, a network of dealerships. And because we didn't feel we were accessing that market sufficiently, he said yes. We put that, supported him in seeding that business and helping him get through that. And he ended up opening several dealerships that helped us sell a lot more trucks.
Wow. And look at that external engagement, Mike, and looking at that opportunity as well. So that, like I said earlier, I figure you all were already doing this and the work that you're doing. So it's so refreshing, you know, as Wendy mentioned, to know that some of you all are already doing this. You've already done it before. You may not have had a framework. You might not have known the 9 areas, but you were already doing it. So refreshing to hear that you're still doing it. And as Wendy said, despite all the backlash and pushback, you're going to continue to do it as well. That's awesome. Really, really good to hear. Any last minute thoughts? No? All right. So Tanya and I were talking as you all were in the group, and we were like, hey, you know what? We have a small intimate group. So let's have a big discussion together for question 2. Is that okay with you all? Can we do that? Can we work together as a big group? Great. So the next question that we have is, what role do we as organization designers play in ensuring that diversity is a primary consideration at the beginning of our work? So that's why I was asking, hey, when was the process? When did you do that? So all of us here, to some extent, are organizational designers. So whether we are focused on diversity, we are focused on change, all of us do this work. So how can we ensure that it's on the top of brain? Even with all the pushback and everything going on, what can we do? So I would just love to hear from you all. Unmute yourself, put it in the chat. What is our role in making sure this happens?
I feel like our role is it's if we're wanting to help, like, I guess depending on why we're in the business that we're in, if we're in the business of supporting organizations, achieving the outcomes they're wanting, making things a better place for people to want to, you know, work at, et cetera, then it's a critical role we have of asking the questions, of inviting the conversation, of inviting people to think about opportunities and new ways of exploring how they bring diversity into their organization. I think, I used to be an employee, now I'm a consultant, but as a consultant, to me, it's important. Like it's a critical role for me to invite the questions, to invite the conversation, and to help my clients think differently. if I really want to make a positive impact, and I do. So I feel like our role is key.
Well, thank you, Carrie. Anyone else?
It's Jose. Not particularly in this particular point in time, but recently, I always have three type of things to look at. I look at health and safety and well-being as part of the key ingredients. And part of that is the diversity and the inclusion. And inclusion is equally important because you can be diverse but excluding, which is even worse. So that's part of the well-being. So they kind of link together into this triangle, and that's how I'm seeing it. So just as a thought.
And Jose, I have a question. When you do the health and wellness, is that the health and wellness of the individuals and the organization, or you have a preference of which one you focus on when it comes to health and wellness?
I tend to look at the well-being in terms of the organization only.
Yeah.
That's for someone else to handle the outside.
Great. That's exactly what we do as well, focus on the diversity, health, and organization. Great point. Anyone else?
I had a colleague in the DEI space tell me once that when you're doing effective organization design, and I'll include organization development in that, then you are doing DEI work. I mean, if you're really doing it the way the way that it's most, you know, it have the greatest impact, you're bound to overlap with it. Like you're saying, Lakeisha, you're saying that, yeah, you're recognizing, well, we're doing it already. And just from a, when I think of just a, like more like a tactical process perspective, I think of when I begin the org design process, thinking about, okay, so what are our design principles? To what, you know, to what end does our organization design? What does it need to do for us, you know, in connection with the strategy? I also find that's a great opportunity to get the conversation wrapped around or thinking about diversity, inclusion, and equity.
Absolutely. So again, as we heard, we are already doing it. You know, and this framework might be helpful for people to say, okay, here's nine areas I can focus on to make sure that we're having that conversation. So again, some of you are already doing 1, 5, 9, but this will be able to help you as you continue those conversations and you continue the work that you're doing in this space. Thank you so much for sharing that, Wendy. Anyone else? Any last minute thoughts? No, okay. Well, I will go and wrap up and share the last part of our session for today before I hand it back over to Tanya. So the next thing I want us to look at is how do we measure this as well? So one of the things that I want to offer you all is if you're interested in measuring, whether it's your organization or a client, to say, where are we in this diversity framework? Are we really focusing on these areas? Is a free report. So we have a diversity readiness assessment that actually looks at all nine of those areas. So as we said so many times, some of you all are already doing some of them already, right? I heard examples of at least four of them that you are already doing. And I'm sure there's more that we haven't even talked about. But this assessment will be able to help you determine, and we do numeric scales, and we'll be able to see, hey, you know what? We are really doing well on talent composition and accessibility and things like that. We already have it part of our process. Maybe we need to work on other stuff. So this is a free report. Feel free to take it, share it with your clients, whoever, just to see where you are. We'll see the results within 48 hours. And again, just own the house, check it out, see how you can use it. I have these really handy dandy resources here. I'm going to send them to Tanya. She's going to send them to you all as well. It has a complete breakdown of the framework, gives you an example of a short report, a long report, to really be able to see, hey, we're already doing this. I just want to measure and see where we are, because it's a really good conversation starter, especially for some of those clients that may not know where to go, or even your organization, to kind of see a benchmark of where you should go as well. Lastly, here is my information. So if you like to connect with me, if you like to email me, feel free to do so. I know Tanya, again, will be sending out the slide deck in PDF form along with all the resources. I'm giving her access to whatever it is that she'd like for you all. So are there any last minute questions for me as I hand it back over to Tanya to close us out for today? All right. Well, I see Jane and I see Tanya.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say thank you, Lakeisha, for leading this conversation. And it was great to see everybody on the call and just hear about the wonderful things we're already doing in this space. And I hope that this framework will add some additional richness to our work. So thank you all for taking the time. And Tanya, I don't know if you have any closing comments, but maybe I will see some of you next week in Minnesota.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both for making the time to put this together. Really appreciate your volunteering, your genius, and your an hour out of your time, plus all your prep work. So thank you so much for being here and bringing this to us. Let's see, we're going to have a week off of virtual sessions next week while we are together in St. Paul, Minnesota. So 130 folks have signed up for the conference, which is a record number for us. So that's really exciting. And we'll look forward to seeing folks then. And then we're going to jump back right after the conference. We'll have our monthly coffee club. We'll also have a design bias session that's going to be happening in our newsletter conversation. So May is going to be a busy month for ODF. But if you have anything you'd like to consider sharing with the community, feel free to reach out to me and I'll get you connected with our community engagement team who plan these virtual sessions. It's exciting to, I was telling Lakeisha at the beginning how when I first started with ODF, Wendy Helmkamp was one of the board members at the time. We had one the annual conference and maybe one or two virtual sessions that were webinars. So no interactive dialogue, none of the other stuff we're able to do with the technology that's out today. So it's really exciting to see this year-round connection and to have folks from abroad joining us and throughout the states here. So everyone, I wish you a great rest of your day and we'll look forward to seeing everyone again here on Zoom sometime soon.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Bye.